This is the Inland Journal. I'm Doug Nadvornik. This week, the Spokane City Council approved a new budget that will have the city spend nearly $1 billion in 2018. With that out of the way, City Council President Ben Stuckert is turning his attention to the rules that govern how political campaigns for city offices are funded. On Monday, the council will consider the Spokane Fair Elections Program that would regulate campaign contribution limits, it would define when candidates can raise money, and limit when certain entities such as public sector unions can contribute to campaigns. Ben Stuckert joins us now to talk about his proposal. How much do you think people really care about this?
I don't think, unless you're maybe a student of politics or really pay attention, that money in politics doesn't get you as excited as something, I don't know, like the ice ribbon at Riverfront Park is a lot more interesting to people than money in politics. But I would argue that things like the ice ribbon are in jeopardy if we don't participate in our democracy. And this slate of reforms that we're bringing forward is really to try to rebuild trust. So our research showed that since 2000, participation in local elections has gone down. It also showed, though, that in these election cycles, the most common donation, which is called the mode, is $50. And that stayed consistent over time. It's always a $50 donor. So that means your most common donator in whatever you're running for, whether it's mayor, city council president, or city council, is always $50. But then over time, what we've seen is the average donation has gone up. And so that means that even though your most common donator was $50, there's more large donors involved in the system. And so as a candidate, I know from my different races I've run, you sit in a room and you make phone calls and ask people for money because you're trying to go after those large donors in order to get your pot bigger. But what you should be doing is out knocking on doors, going to small house parties where you're meeting with people, and you learn a lot more about a community, face-to-face communication, and listening to people at a door that you don't know, that has no preconceived notion. They're just going to tell you what those issues are, versus calling a list of people that have made large donations to other politicians. You don't get any perspective on that, but you raise a lot of money, and so we need to give that voice to those $50 donors, and we've lost that over time. And so one of our proposals in this measure is to basically say that whatever the state limit is, which right now it's $1,000 for a primary and $1,000 for a general election, half it. So take it and it'd be $500 for the primary. So you're less likely to go after large donors, hopefully, and you're more likely to rely on those small donors.
So you talk that most of us who are voters do not give money to political candidates. How is lowering that limit to $500 going to encourage other folks to give money?
Well, that's going to be up to the politicians. Or what we might see is a decrease in the amount raised, because we've also seen the total amount grow over time. And what I've seen as a politician and what I've seen in other races is the politicians, the money doesn't really matter and win you the race. It's who doorbells the most, especially in the size of our council districts and in the size of Spokane. Mayor Condon was out doorbelling, and that's how he won. And when he beat Mayor Verner, he doorbelled quite extensively. The same year I beat Dennis Heshen that year, and I out doorbelled him. In my reelection, I went and doorbelled another 10,000 doors. And you learn more, but you also get to know the people out there. They see you. And I think I'd much rather have my politicians out doorbelling than raising money. And if that means that they get less money and there's less TV, so be it.
So a lot of this is aimed at public sector unions and the contractors who want to do business with the city. Are they boogeymen in this case?
Well, I would say that I never say there's an undue influence on politics, but part of the reason for a decrease in participation in our democracy is a perception of undue influence. Now, I've been offered money. In 2011, I got offered money to change my mind before I was even elected. Some group of people came to me and said, we'll max out and give you $8,000 if you change your mind about a project in town. And I was like, whoa, so there is actually undue influence on politics, and they use money to do that. But we have contractors that have gotten over hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in city contracts that then give largely to races. And so we've said, if you have a contract with the city of Spokane over $50,000 in the previous 2 years, you can't give directly to candidates anymore. And I think that's fairly reasonable. There's about 8 different cities nationwide that we found that have done this. It hasn't hurt anybody. It's not silencing anybody's free speech. We actually set this ordinance up so that the unions, if they were in open negotiation, couldn't donate to candidates. But our HR department and legal department raised quite a few concerns about that. So what we've said is unions have to disclose on their tentative agreement when it comes forward to the public that who they've donated to that is on the council right now that's going to vote on this. And so it's at least transparent there. The boogeyman comment, I think it's a perception of undue influence more than it is actually undue influence. But I've seen the problem before firsthand.
Now, you said they can't give directly, but there's also documentation in here that folks will give to a political action committee, which will give to a political action committee, so they could give indirectly?
Yeah, and you can't stop them from giving to political action committee. So what we've said is on the political action committee, what we've seen is gray money where one political action committee, four or five, will give to one, and then that political action committee will give to the people that are actually spending the money. So on all the current disclosure for state law, all they disclose is one PAC is end up on their TV spots or their postcards. They'll disclose five other PACs. And so what we say, it's called nesting, is you have to go back and actually find the top three donors. So you could go back, and in 2013, we had an incident where a PAC in town had like five different PACs donating to it. Nobody knew who the money was. And those should have been the $10,000 donors. There were three of them who applied, apparently one of them for the airport board at the time. And we didn't know that until we started tracing it back. But they should be up front. And so those top three donors, whether that's organizations or individuals. And then on the other end, you have dark money, which is, it's called an incidental committee or nonprofit. So you have a nonprofit. Nobody knows who's giving money to that nonprofit. They will turn around, and this happens on the left and the right. You have an organization out there on the left called Fuse that gave $50,000 from their nonprofit to their PAC, or Better Spokane is a local PAC. Their nonprofit gave $30,000 in in-kind donations to that PAC. And so you don't know. Dark money means we don't know who is giving to those. And so these changes say that your top 10 contributors to that nonprofit, that incidental committee, have to be given to the city clerk's office, so the top 10 donors, and then we publish that on the city's website. So those are, so even if money, like the Citizens United decision nationally has really kind of opened up this PAC world where you have dark money and gray money, we can't regulate how much or what they do, but we can force them to be transparent. And that, I guess I'd just say, is both those gray money and dark money components of this bill are things that Senator Billig has been working on for years. And his dark money bill passed the Senate unanimously last year, passed the House with like one dissenting vote maybe or two. And then when it went to committee, they never even brought it to the floor because the dark money got a hold of the politicians in the meantime. And so what'll be curious to me as we're voting on this next Monday is who comes out of the woodwork in the next 6 days that tries to tell council not to pass this, because you know those are the people that are funding the dark money.
So you're saying those outside influences have become more significant over the last several years in Spokane?
Yes. Yeah, we've seen a huge rise over the last 10 years in those kind of PACs and influences. Citizens United has affected everywhere negatively, I believe.
So how would these rules change the way you run your own campaign?
I guess I term out in 2 years, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but if I were running for something again, it would force me to doorbell more and spend less time on the phone trying to raise big dollars. On the other aspect, I think some of the corporations and organizations that have given to me in the past won't be allowed under these laws. And I actually think that's a really good idea, especially if I'm in office running for re-election or a different office. You don't want somebody that's got a huge contract with the city to then feel obligated to donate to you either. It goes both ways.
Ben Stuckert's Spokane Fair Elections Program ordinance will go before the City Council on Monday. Stuckert is the council president.